Bereshis bara elikim, in the beginning. God created es ha-shomayim ve-sa-oretz, the heavens and the earth. That's how this maimer opens. The Rebbe delivered this on the Shabbos, Parshas Bereshis, Mevarchem HaChedesh, Ma'cheshvan, just like this Shabbos. The year is 1984. U'mevi b'zeh, kveit kedush ha-sadmur ha-tzemach tzedek. The Rebbe begins by quoting a teaching of one of his predecessors, his namesake, Tzemach Tzedek, in a mimer that opens with this very verse, which is actually based on a mimer and exposition of the Alter Rebbe, the founder of the Chabad movement. Mashahuva bekame mefarshe ha-Torah, based on that which is brought in many of the Torah commentaries, and it's actually even alluded to in Rashi's commentary, dereshis koi al ha-Torah, that the word reshis refers to Torah itself, not to the timeline, not to the schedule, not that Bereshis in the beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth, but rather Bereshis with Reshis, God created, and that Reshis refers to Torah. Ulafiza. And if we have to view it this way, Pirish Bereshis Bara Elikim, the meaning of in the beginning, God created, can be understood, Shebriya Sa'ilam, that the creation of the world, He Al Yedea Torah, was through the Torah. In other words, that is to say, Bereshis with Reshis, not in the beginning, but with the beginning. And since beginning is a euphemism for Torah, so that means Bereshis with beginning or with Torah, God created heaven and earth. This is along the lines of the Zoharic teaching, a very well-known Zoharic teaching, that says, Kuchubrichu istakel bereiso ubara alma. God looked into the Torah and then he created the world. As if to say that the world is the blueprint for Torah. Torah is the blueprint for the world. Behine kishem shehu bebriya sa olam, just as it is with regard to creation of the universe, that the Torah is the blueprint. And God looks into the blueprint and then creates the world. Keinu gam ba'avedes kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. This is true on a universal level. It's true cosmically speaking, and it's also true microcosmically. It's true on an individual basis. As Rashi says, that Bereshis is also understood as for the purpose of Reshis. And he says the purpose of Reshis is Bishvil Yisrael, for the nation of Israel, Shenikru Reshis, who are alluded to euphemistically as beginnings. So we have here the idea that Bereshis refers to Torah. And Bereshis Bara does not mean in the beginning God created, but rather it means with beginning or with Torah God created. And we also have this idea that Bereshis identifies the purpose, the raison d'etre for creation, which is Reshis. Reshis is beginning. And beginning is euphemistically referring to Yisrael, to the nation of Israel. So in that case, conflating these ideas, if Bereshis means with Torah, one has to create. And if Reshis also refers to us as individuals, as the famous saying goes, if you want to know how Klal Yisrael is doing, find out how Reb Yisrael is doing. Yisrael is a name, Reb Yisrael would be an individual. Klal Yisrael is the plurality of the Jewish people. Since you want to know how the nation of Israel is doing, find out how Mr. Israel is doing. In other words, that which is good for the goose is necessarily going to be good for the gander. And that each and every individual is a part of this. We don't just believe, broadly speaking, that Judaism is important. For somebody, it's important. Judaism is important. We believe that Judaism is important for you, for every individual. If it's important for all of us, it's important for every one of us. If it's meaningful on a broad scale, it has to be meaningful in a miniature and individualized scale. There's so many people who believe in Judaism. They believe in Judaism for, I don't know for who, for everybody they believe in it. They believe in the continuity of Judaism. They believe in the Torah of the Jewish people. They believe in the heritage of the Jewish people. They don't live their lives that way. When you ask them why, they tell you what's the problem. I believe in Judaism. I support Jewish survival. How about you doing something about that? Well, I wrote a check. Is that good enough? I support the cause. No, it's not good enough. You need to do your part. So really, we have to break down the bigger ideas into individualized, compartmentalized, and specific focus of each and every individual. So that is to say, if the universe is created with reishis, which means Torah, with the force of Torah, the power of Torah, the influence of Torah, the guidance of Torah, the empowerment of Torah, if that's what creates the world, then that has to be meaningful also for the other reishis, which is the nation of Israel, individually speaking, that Torah has to be the force of spirit that propels us forward. So the Avodas Kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael is in a way of Bereishis Bara Lekim Es HaShomayim V'Saretz. Okay, so that's kind of like Volley 1. Volley 1, the Rebbe here invoked like a whole range of sources from the Tzemach Tzedek to the Alter Rebbe to, broadly speaking, commentaries on Torah, even invoking Rashi along the Zoharic teaching, that Bereishis Bara means with Torah, creation happens with Torah. Bereishis Bara means creation is relevant on an individualized basis. Broadly speaking, with Torah, the world, the cosmos, the universe, individually speaking, Torah gives us the ability to make our difference, to accomplish what we must in this world, to add to our detail or our rung or nuance of making this world, the cosmos, a better place. Now the Rebbe is going to introduce something else. And this is a little bit like a little mind-blowing. Now the Rebbe says like this. This all is Kepidah Shabbal Shem Tov. This is all along or encapsulated by a teaching, a doctrine of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Rebbe notes that it's actually quoted by the previous Rebbe in a number of his talks, a number of his informal talks. He quotes this teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. But the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov is this. Bereishis, not now as Torah, not now as Yisrael, but Bereishis as in a timeline. Bereishis literally. Bereishis meaning in the beginning. Meaning, not in the beginning of time, but rather priority-wise. In the beginning, meaning first things first. First off, when you talk about Avodah Zarah, first off, Hascholas Avodah B'Avodas Hashem, the beginning of all service to Hashem, the beginning of all trying to make the efforts of living the life as Hashem wants us to. What's the beginning? Where does it begin from? It begins from Bereishis. The first thing in Avodas Hashem is Bara. Now Bara here, the Rebbe says, as the Gemara in Chulin tells us, on page 43, that the word Bara, which means created in English, that's how it's translated, can also be understood as revealing or bringing forth something's latent potential. So you didn't actually create something, but you kind of did. Because this idea was latent or hidden. It wasn't overt. So you brought it forth. And bara is also a form in Hebrew of describing the concept of gilui, of bringing something to the fore, of revealing something. Unlocking its potential is a form of creation. So Bereishis Bara, that's for example why, like, one of the reasons we can't use fire on Shabbos, because to release electrons or to harness energy or even just release energy is considered to be a creative act. Even though it takes a moment, strike of a match, flick of a switch. And therefore, it's something you ought to do on Shabbos, because on Shabbat, Hashem rests. When Hashem rests and doesn't engage in the creative process, neither can we. So, bara means to bring forth, like to reveal the energy that's latent in everything, which is like fire or electricity. So, bereishis bara, the first thing is bara, to reveal Elohim. The first thing is to reveal God. Now, here the Baal Shem Tov says something very, very profound, very deep. He says, Elohim doesn't mean the beginning, the first thing of all is to reveal God. For life in general is about revealing God's presence. It's not the first thing, that's always. But Elohim specifically refers to the name of God that is synonymous with nature. The notion that God's presence is concealed or hidden by the facade of nature. God conceals himself. In the language of Kabbalah, tzimtzum, that God as if self-screens. So you don't see the presence of God. Creation necessarily means we don't see the presence of God. He can't identify his presence. You can do a dusting and take fingerprints. You can see things which allude to the presence of God, but you don't get to see the presence of God. Now, the obvious question is, if God is bringing all this into existence, if we're all living within God, how did he hide himself so well? Why don't we see him? I mean, if godliness is everywhere, how come nobody's noticing it? It actually doesn't make any sense. It's like an inherently flawed idea, because how could it be that this is the truth, but nobody knows the truth? It would be as if to say one of these crackpot conspiracy theories that, you know, I don't know, some individual somewhere, a secret cabal somewhere is running the whole world, but nobody knows who they are. And nobody can detect them. And some had a flying underneath the radar and they've been doing it for 5,000 years. That's ridiculous. It's a conspiracy theory. If it was true, it would have to come to the fore in some way. It would have to start being noticeable. That's what we call them, conspiracy theories, because they're not demonstrable. So here you have this idea that God is everywhere and everything, and that everything exists only because of God, but nobody can see God. And the deeper people look at the creation, they can identify sequence. They even, Hoggs Bigson even figured out what they call the God particle, something that didn't make sense. So for lack of better terminology, for lack of a euphemism, it's called the God particle. But the truth is, we can't see God. How is that? How could that be? And the answer is, that's the way God wanted it. That God made it that way. And what is that called? That self-screening, that concealment of divinity, what's it called? It's called Shem Elikim. It's called the name of God. When we say Havaya, who Elikim? Havaya represents the creative or miraculous energy of divinity. Elikim is the concealing energy of divinity. Havaya, who Elikim? The screening is not outside of divinity. God self-screens. The same God that creates is the God also that covers his fingerprints and conceals his presence.
He hides himself.
He hides himself. He doesn't let any of us see him. Because if we would see him, would there really be a challenge or an accomplishment in doing the right thing? Because we see God. When Mashiach will come, will it be a big deal to be a pious Jew then? The answer is no. Why not? Why? Because Mashiach will go. Everybody will see everything. Everything will be obvious. So when is it meaningful to be a pious individual? Now. When everything is concealed. And how long is that concealment going on for? For how long has that concealment been in place? For as long as creation itself. 5,780 years ago, Bereshis, in the beginning, Bara, how did God create? Elikim. Elikim is the name of divinity, the energy of God which conceals, hides, camouflages, disables from seeing. So the Baal Shem Tov said like this, Bereshis, the beginning of our Avodas Hashem has to be Bara, to reveal Elikim. What does that mean? What does it mean to reveal Elikim? You can't reveal Elikim. Even when you do a mitzvah, you don't see the presence of God. So he says that means legalis, to reveal. Es hakavana hapnimius, the inner raison d'etre, the reason for creation. The reason. Why did God self-screen? In other words, you should reveal the purpose and the reason for that self-screening, for God's hiding himself. That's the beginning of your Aveda. So ask yourself the question, so why did God hide himself? If he's real, if that's what's making everything exist, why did he hide himself? So your first Aveda is to reveal why he hid himself. Why do you think he hid himself? So we should choose to do the right thing. Oh, but it's so hard. That's the point. In other words, that we should understand that concealment, God's concealment was actually God's favor to us, even though it's counterintuitive. God's concealing himself is so that we might be able to reveal him. How do we reveal him? We reveal God when we overcome the challenges of doing the right thing. And that's so difficult, but that's the purpose. That's why the concealment was created. In other words, you need to view creation differently. You need to see past the camouflage. You need to see past the choreographed obfuscation and smokescreen so that you understand why it's there to begin with. That's the beginning. So if somebody asks you, first things first, so what's this all about? And the answer is, it's all about you understanding or viewing creation differently. You should view God's concealment as something done for the purpose of revelation. How will that happen? When we study Torah and do mitzvahs, and the Mashiach will come, then it will be revealed why all the concealment happened. So the Baal Shem Tov said, Bereishis, the beginning of Aveda, the ABCs, if you will, of Aveda Hashem, is Bara Elikim, to reveal God. Meaning to reveal the concealment or roll back the concealment. That's the beginning of the Aveda. And he says, so the Rebbe now develops this idea, and he says, this is understood. The Gamba Aveda is called Echad V'Echad, in the Aveda, in the service of each and every individual, Liyeh's Bereshis Bara Elikim, that there has to be Bereshis Bara, which now going back to our previous interpretation, Bereshis in the beginning refers to something called beginning, namely the Torah. So Hine, Aveda Zu, these efforts, how are they made? How is it achieved? How do you roll back the concealment? And the answer is Aidea Torah, through Torah. So a person will say, so why was I created? So why did God conceal himself? I must meditate. I must contemplate. I must go to the beach and look at the sunrises and sunsets until the cows come home, and then I will know why. No, that's not correct. You must not climb the Himalayas necessarily, or hug trees, or come up with your own ideas as to why God might have hidden himself. Well, how else will I know? How else? Read the owner's manual. You should read the Torah. So that is Istakel Be'eraisa. You want to know why God concealed himself? Look in the Torah. The Torah will give you the reasons. In other words, you want to know what the purpose of creation is? Look in Torah. The Torah will tell you why it was creation. And how do I contend with creation? Meaning, how do I contend with the concealment? How do I contend with the fact that I can't see God? How do I contend with the fact that I have so many tests and so many challenges? How do I contend with that? You want to know how to contend with it? Look in the Torah. And the Torah tells you, here's how you contend with it. So if you look in the Torah and you follow the Torah's instructions, how to contend with it, then you're actually contending. Then you're a contender. Now you're dealing with it. But that's only by Yistakel Be'eraisa. Okay, the Issa Bezer, like it says in the Zer, Kutche Brichu, Yistakel Be'eraisa. Hashem looks into creation, Ubara Alma, and then he creates the world. So in other words, how does God bring about creation? God brings about creation first by looking in the Torah. The Torah is the blueprint for creation. And then the Zohar says, Barnash mistakel ba be'eraisa. A human, his job, is to look into the Torah, umekayim alma, and to sustain or fulfill the world. So, in other words, let's go back to the beginning here. It's a lot of ideas that are coming together at once in this just opening volley of the Maamar. They haven't even yet asked this question yet. There's a question here. But before we get to the question, which is all about seeing and saying, here's a lot packed into this opening statement. The opening statement evokes the notion that Reishis is Torah. And because Reishis is Torah, that means not in the beginning, but with beginning, with Torah, God creates the universe, which necessarily gets transposed onto us as individuals, that therefore we, who also mean Reishis, have to reach for the Torah in order so that we too can create our own world, if you will, in an appropriate way with Reishis. Which this leads us into a commentary on what is creation really all about. In other words, what is the concealment really all about? And the answer is, it's all about us revealing, rolling back the concealment. That's the ABCs of Aveda. And that has to be done individually, and that is accomplished, going back where we started, through the Torah. So the first ABCs, beginning of our trying to serve Hashem inappropriately and live a meaningful life, is the awareness that the concealment is purposeful. It's not random. That God concealed himself so that we might roll back the concealment. And how do we do this? We do it through Torah, with the force power of Torah, with the instruction of Torah, on a simple level. Just Find out why. I don't know why. Why did God create the world? Why do you hide himself? What is all this about? I'm going to look into the Torah. How does the Torah tell me? Well, first of all, it tells you what to do. I can't create my circumstances. I can respond to my circumstances. How do I respond? I'm going to look in the Torah and see what the Torah says. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to look in the Torah. The Torah is going to give me an understanding as to why this is going on. What this is all about. So if I look in the Torah and I know what to do, and then I look in the Torah, I know why I should do it and why this is happening, then all of a sudden, creation has meaning. And creation has meaning cosmically, which filters through into me microcosmically or individually doing what I have to do. That's just the opening statement here. Unfortunately, we're already out of time. The Rebbe's question, though, is, if looking is good enough, then why did God have to speak the world into creation? If istakel be'eraisa, if you have to just view the world, so just view it. If you have to look at it, if perspective what it's all about, so then have the right perspective. You have to, so to speak, put new glasses on. See the world through new lenses. See the world through Torah lenses. And if you see the world through Torah lenses, then you'll be able to live a life that's meaningful. So the Rebbe says, okay, so then why is there such a big emphasis on God speaking the world into creation if you could look the world into creation?
To bring godliness down to
the earth. Ultimately, the point that Rebbe does make eventually, I mean, we're not going to get there at all today, but the point eventually is that the world exists on multiple levels. There's the theoretical reality of creation, and that is in the level of Torah, and then there's that theory applied. And to apply the theory, it's not just good enough to look at the theory as it exists in the state of theorem, but it's necessary for us to articulate, because articulation means to bring it forth into applied theorem, to take it from the theoretical plane, and to apply it in the practical plane, which ultimately the lesson for us is that Torah ideas cannot only be experienced academically or even emotionally, meaning in theory, Torah ideas have to be carried out. Torah ideas have to be applied, and it's not so simple. Even if you have the right ideas, even if you have the right perspective on things, even if you know how to view things, doesn't mean that necessarily you'll be doing the right thing. Because applying things is not the same as the theoretical reality. They call this applied mechanics. Applied mechanics, applied sciences. There's the theoretical sciences, which often have an impact on reality. There's theoretical mechanics or quantum physics, which often will make a difference in the real world, but only when the people whose expertise is applied quantum physics, applied science, applied theorem. So you got to take that and apply it. And that's where everything gets lost in translation. This is the great challenge, to take these ideas and to translate them into a new applied reality. This is the reason that Hashem spoke the world into creation, essentially performing that application and translation. And ultimately, that's our mission in life, and not only to view things right, not only to study about things, not only to have the right ideas, but that those ideas have to be applied in real time, in applied fashion. Not easy at all, but worthwhile. Very challenging, but ultimately meaningful, and this is what creation should be inspiring each and every one of us. We come to Parshas Bereishis, that we have to apply things. And when we apply them, then the theory of a perfected world will be applied, Meitz Hashem, by God himself, who will finally send us the Mashiach. The Mehedra will be Amenu Amen. Thank you for joining us for our return to the Torah all over again from the beginning, studying Bereishis, and hopefully we'll continue to study all year long.